Marty, good afternoon. I hope the sun is just as bright in Ellettsville as it is downtown. How are you on this Wednesday?
I am fine, and it is beautiful. It just is beautiful. It's still not warm enough for me, but hey, it's going to be. It looks to me like by Easter it's supposed to be warming up for Easter Sunday.
All weekend in the 70s, so that's the good news. We could have a little rain to go along with that, but rain makes flowers grow, and we need a little bit of balance of everything that goes on there. And Marty, well, if March is getting ready to end, this is our first Easter in March since 2016. That means, we've got early voting that's going to start. Everybody's worried about the big eclipse, but we've got a big election as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we last night spent a lot of time talking about big elections. One of the things that they were bringing forward was at our last council meeting, they had, it was brought to us, I don't know what it was from HR, or the payroll department, the legal department, for whatever reason, they brought us a method to pay the people who were working in the election office by hourly instead of per day. And it was like, okay, this is what it's supposed to be, X, Y, and Z. And so we were just like, you know, go along like good soldiers. Well, as it turned out, that they weren't counting the hours correctly and didn't get the numbers in there that would have fairly compensated the people working there. And so the people were getting their checks, and their checks were short.
Not good.
They weren't getting paid. Well, you can't ever do that. You can't ever say, we'll pay you X dollars, and then, oh, by the way, we changed our mind after you've already done the work. So we had a lot of people at our meeting last night wanting to make sure that we did the right thing and fixed it for them and making it so that they'll get their money. You know, a lot of these people, if they were short $100 a paycheck, they might have counted on that for, you know, Easter or whatever.
Sure.
It's really none of our business, of course, what they counted on it for, because once they've worked for it, they earned it. And then if for some reason, if ever a salary has to be cut in future, the people can choose not to work for that money, but you can't go in and change it.
Yeah, it can't be retroactive, right.
Can't do it that way. So anyway, so that was a part of our discussion last night. The other thing that we voted on, which was sort of as a part of that, was that you would think I would have known this all along, been working on this, but I don't seem to be the only one who was not aware. We have been paying for several years someone to recruit people to go work at the polls. I just found out about that over the weekend. I didn't know that. Evidently, it was coming out of the election fund, and I don't know. Maybe I don't know. It wasn't a part of our salary ordinance or anything. Well, then last night, it was determined rather than paying them $140 a day, we're now going to pay them $200 a day. Of course, they didn't mention the 140 part. That's just something I knew because I talked to somebody over the weekend about it. And so that's a $60 a day increase.
Yeah, good work if you can get it. Yeah.
Right. And that's for 60 days. And it's not like for
these are for poll workers, Marty? I got confused.
No, it's for the people to call everybody and get the people to go work at the polls.
Oh, the recruiters. So you.
Which evidently we're the only county that does that because I've been calling my friends. You know, I've got a lot of friends.
I know that. Yeah.
Throughout the state. Can't find anybody that pays the recruiters. I think probably they're, because this is like so many, you have to pay the Republican recruiter the same amount as you paid the Democrat recruiter. It has to be even. Supposedly. So I think, you know, for years it was just volunteers did that and filled the polls.
So in the old days, people would just show up and say, hey, I would like to be, I would like to work the polls all day long. And now people are too busy or whatever. So you have to recruit a service to call people up and say, hey, without you, we can't have polls going on. We can't do
this. Well, you can't. You have to fill. You have to fill it.
Right. I just want people to understand how the process works.
Right. And I think the thing that was that just caught us off guard, at least some of us, that first of all didn't even know all because it hadn't been on our salary ordinance, and then that it was $200 a day instead of $140 a day. And so then I'm trying to say, well, how many days? And then another council member said, was that 5 days a week or is that, oh no, it's all 7 days. So it's 60 days, so that's $12,000 for the primary and $12,000 for the general election. So that's $24,000 for someone to do this on the Republican side and $24,000 for someone to do the Democrat side. If I'm understanding what it looks like we did. I said, has anybody done the numbers? Do you see what this is? I said, well, I think I'll stop being on the county council, see if they'll let me be a recruiter.
No, that's exactly right.
Take it down to.
So this has happened before. Just nobody noticed it was being paid out. That's where I got lost here.
It wasn't in our salary ordinance. We'd never voted on it before, ever.
So again, from someone looking from the outside,
it was coming out of the election fund budget. I don't know how was it getting paid? Did they just send in something saying pay these? Maybe it was just under some kind of category called recruitment.
Sure, I don't know.
Maybe I was just, been asleep under the woods for all this time, and other council members as well, because I wasn't the only one sort of like, I didn't know this. Anyway, so there you go. That was a part of it that went on.
So why the big increase in pay? That's the other part of this I would like to get to.
Right. So if we had said, look, and the reason why the recruiters were upset was because at the last meeting, not knowing we were voting on recruiters, it didn't say anything about that. It was just like, this election worker A and B and C and whatever. Well, one of them was like this recruiter situation. And obviously, they weren't going to be happy if somebody said, well, now you've got to keep track of your hours. Because they didn't want to keep track of their hours because it was like if they're going to make calls, they might make them in the evening or on the weekend or whatever. And so that's why they were upset. It wasn't that they were upset about $140,000 so much. $140,000, pardon me.
Not yet, Marty. Not yet. $140,000.
Yeah. It wasn't that they were upset about their salary. It was about having to keep track of every hour because that they, didn't do it, like sit down at an 8-to-5 job. So anyway, but talking about elections and moving on to the other election situation, is that tonight is another vote center meeting night.
Okay.
And that is where they're going to be trying to decide whether or not they want to move forward with vote center.
Let me ask you, let me jump in right here quickly because this all, like you mentioned, it all ties in together, which I find is interesting. Well, you're not going to need recruiters if you only have two vote centers instead of 658 precincts or whatever it is, right? So this is going to solve the problem.
Well, or not, because...
all right, go ahead.
Let's talk about how the workflow of this. Now, tonight's the meeting at 5 o'clock. I tried to see if there was any kind of an agenda, but, I didn't see an agenda, just that they were going to have a meeting, and you can see that on the county's website, and that's going to be at the Showers Building at 5 o'clock, and it is a public meeting, so if someone wanted to come and just listen in, and there's this whole committee that's supposed to be looking at it. Of course, the committee doesn't make the final decision. They're just there to make some kind of a recommendation, whether or not they want to do it, whatever. Now, they could tie anything they wanted to their recommendation, but that doesn't mean that would be the final thing because they don't make the final decision. They can recommend anything. But then they take it to the election board, and then the election board would make the decision. However, they don't decide the location. That's actually the county commissioners, if I understand that right, who will decide on the location of where these vote centers would be. You see?
Yeah, so everybody's got their hands in it, right?
It's this big circle around. So it's never gone through. It's never
It's not something we're going to have to worry about for this election cycle, correct?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out if they're trying to get something done before fall. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
Right.
But when they get through with this, then they will take it to the election board. And that, of course, right now, we have, trying to figure out who's left there, Nicole and John Fernandez and Judith Benkart, Judge.
The
Benkart.
Judge, yeah.
Right. And so... And before it was David Henry who was the party chair. So one will never know. I mean, you know, a party chair could be sitting there at representing the Republican side. I don't know, because they could do that. That election board always sort of gets moved around, as we've seen so much of. But whatever they would determine, and it has to be unanimous. The vote has to be unanimous at that election board. And once again, they could tie all kinds of caveats to it. It has to be this, has to be that, whatever. It doesn't matter. They cannot tell the commissioners where to put these. Where to put the location. So it would, that part would be up to commissioners.
Okay. Because they're in charge of buildings and things, correct?
That's, I beg pardon?
Because they're in charge of buildings and structures and all that stuff, correct?
Well, I don't know. I didn't write the rules. I'm just.
That's okay. That's okay.
It might very well be. We'll just find out. It's very concerning, because what we have is we have people who live far out in the county, you know, the folks I represent. I represent the people who don't live in town Bloomington. And many of them work out here or work out, you know, cooks, wherever. They're not going to want to go to a vote center in town Bloomington. So I think we would lose a lot of voters for this area. And not only that, it's a part of the community connection that they feel connected to their community. That's been a part of what has been said for years. But I will say that back when there was never a problem trying to fill workers there, that was when we used to have those wonderful lunches, and the people would bring in those, you know, chicken and dumplings. There, people would want to work at the polls because it was the best eats in town. And it was just a fun day, a fun thing to do. And so maybe too much of the fun is gone, but there we are. I do know that as well. Tomorrow is scheduled. It's going to be a busy day of schedules. I hear you say the mayor's going to be with
yes.
you.
What, first
what
appearance.
Hour is she going to be?
Right. She's going to be my Marty Hawk on Thursday, right? Just at 4:10. We'll be ready to go with Mayor Carrie Thompson for the first time.
So be at 4:10. Well, there's supposed to be a meeting tomorrow. And I've got to check the events calendar and make sure I have the right time frame. I think it's at noon. There's a special, the Food and Beverage Tax Advisory Commission is tomorrow at noon. Well, that is also the same date as a women's luncheon. And the Food and Beverage Tax Advisory Commission is, you know, whether or not the people will actually be able to show up and have enough to have a quorum. Cheryl Munson's the president, Julie Thomas, and it would be the mayor, and it would be whoever the representative is, the city council, and then the three people who would be involved with the food and beverage sales. And so we had received notice that Susan Bright might not want to be on the committee anymore, and so they may have trouble coming up with a quorum. But here's why it would be really great if they could all be there, because not only did the city already say that they want to move forward with asking the Food and Beverage Tax Advisory Commission their advice on the $250,000 for the CIB so that we can get this moving. And so that the rule is, the legislation is, they have to ask advice. Doesn't mean they have to follow it. Just means they have to ask for it. And because that legislation did change. But the other thing that they're being asked to do is make a decision for a fireworks display for the Harrodsburg Festival. And, of course, that's coming up. It's always in the early spring. So, and that's unusual to be asking food and beverage folks for money to spend on that. But that's coming from the county commissioner's request. So hopefully people will be able to show up so that that meeting can actually take place.
Well, we'll get a full report, I would hope, from Mayor Thompson tomorrow
right.
afternoon. So we'll with
tomorrow
that going on, that's
see.
Important. Yeah.
And they were talking about, go ahead, I'm sorry.
The Harrodsburg Community, Harrodsburg Heritage Festival. Harrodsburg Heritage Days, May 17th and 18th, 2024. Write that down in your calendar, kids. We'll have Paul Strain on us with what we do every year.
Right, and remember, they can't wait until then to figure out if they've got the money to order the fireworks, because that's, you know, you have to do that well in advance. So, you know, all of that will come together. But at any rate, and then, of course, many of us are excited that Jim Banks will be in town, and we'll have meetings with him tomorrow night, and it's going to be an exciting time.
What is he in town for, Marty? Is there a special?
For our Lincoln Day dinner.
Okay.
And he is the main speaker, and Congressman Banks, and, of course, his right-hand man, Chris Crabtree, was a part of our county government, Republicans, for years, and such a joy to work with. And then he worked with the lieutenant governor. He worked with the governor, Governor Pence. He's just that he is such a wealth of knowledge. So I'm looking forward to speaking with him as well.
Marty, the thing I'm excited about is I saw yesterday Lisa Ridge told everybody that the Fullerton Pike extension and all that construction is going to get started coming up on April 9th, the day after the big solar eclipse. We're going to get connected to Interstate 69 over there on the southwest side.
Well, they're working on it. That doesn't mean we're going to connect it yet.
No. That's when it starts.
They've already been having meetings before, but they say that work is going to proceed anyway on the 9th. Now, I'm not saying that they won't, but I'm really wondering, with all the traffic that we keep being told we're going to have, will all that traffic be out of here and we'll all be able to get to our appointed places on April 9th?
Well, where they're going to be doing the work, Marty, is kind of off the beaten path, I would think, because connecting.
Okay, but that work isn't going to get done unless the people get there. But see what I'm saying?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, I would hope.
I think the transportation, of course,
the others will be going out.
A big hype over nothing, and now I'm beginning to believe them because the banks are going to close.
They're expecting 300,000 people. That's a lot of people, and hopefully on that morning of Tuesday, people are leaving town, going back to where they're, and our folks coming in to start working will be entering town. So let's
right.
Let's hope
I mean,
that's
they've
right.
got me scheduled to be someplace on the 9th, and I said I will probably be sitting right over here. I'm not going to get in that traffic. To try to get in town, Bloomington, but maybe this is just a big joke, and it really isn't
going
to be this bad. But I've got a feeling it really is, because I'm right at the spot.
Right.
Right at the spot.
And I think during the day on Monday, before this all happens, and after the event immediately ends, yes. But I think Tuesday we will be I think on Tuesday things will be close to normal. We will have to see. It's an exciting time, no doubt about it. And like
right.
we said, the bridge isn't going to open on the 9th. The construction's going to start on the 9th. There's a big difference. That's hoping to be completed by August of 2025 if there are no big headaches or anything else. I just saw the summer forecast. Muggy and stormy, tells the Farmer's Almanac, tells me. So stormy is never good for construction projects, is it?
Well, I don't think the storms will help them very much unless they just want to have meetings or something of the sort. But I'm understanding that Eric Spumor has a nice announcement for you about having to do with housing. So I just got a text for that.
His video is up at the Chamber's the Chamber of Commerce's Facebook page, or probably website, YouTube channel as well. I talked to Eric on Monday, and he did that after I spoke to him. So talking about housing, go take a look at it, kids. And you can listen to the president and CEO's remarks on trying to get new housing going here in Bloomington and Monroe County.
Well, I understand that the mayor has, or the city at least, has already said no to the Sir Hookons for the what was to be the Habitat expansion there south of town.
Okay.
And so without that, I don't know if that will happen, because I don't know what it costs to put in a package plant, but they're going to have to punt on that just a little bit, I would think. But we are moving forward with it, doing the borings for the property where they wish to put the jail there and what many of us locals call Criterville there at North Park. And so I'm wondering, are they going to have conversations with the neighborhoods, or will they just move forward? I told you, I think, last week that indeed the neighbors are already starting to contact me and saying, look, you know, this is a problem. We're not real happy about it. But, you know, once again, no one's going to want the jail to come next door to them. So...
We can't put it in the middle of nowhere, and we can't put it anywhere, so I don't know what we do.
Well, one thing for certain, we have, many of us have said we want to make sure there's mental health services available for those put in the jail system, and last night the sheriff was talking about it and how we might go about paying for these folks, and that's, it's not the transition team that we had already talked about. Now we're talking about the ones that would be having to work with mental health, and many of us had hoped we would cover that out of that opioid settlement dollars, so those dollars will be coming in routinely. And rather than sending this out to this group and that group to work with this, and I know there's a lot of nonprofits that want a portion of that money, but if we as a whole and as a county want to see mental health services provided within our jail, we've got to cover it, and that is a way to cover it. So I'm hoping those that want that to happen will make that happen.
Well, and that's somebody, you're right, has to pay for it. We have to use that money. There's going to be more money that's going to have to come in for facilities and employees and benefits and clean. It's a whole litany of things. It is complicated, isn't it?
It really is, and we're a long way to go, but people are really working, trying to make it come together and move forward. So, but once again, and I call upon the county council, could do this. We could look at what is our projected dollar amount we would have to work with to pay it back, to pay a bond back out of that economic development tax. It was, I believe, they said about $70 million. And that we wouldn't have to go for a brand new tax to anybody. But if they want to do that, or if the city takes a part of that and we're forced then to do increase a jail tax, then how much would that other dollar amount come from there? Where will we have to take that tax to? And what would that mean to the average taxpayer?
It means they'll pay more money.
We need to just get, we'll just say, here's what would be if we did this, and here's what would be if we did that, and give us a dollar amount of what it's going to cost the taxpayer, the average taxpayer. If you want to say 50,000, if you want to say 100,000, there's very few people making 20,000. But even at 20,000, you're going to be paying some of this.
Sure.
So if you live here and pay income taxes, you'll be paying for this if we do it with income tax. And I believe the county council can come up with a projection, give it a range of what it would cost the average taxpayer out there. And I think that should happen sooner rather than later.
Sounds like a very rational idea, Marty. I hope that I hope someone picks up on it and runs with it, because I know you can only, as the voice of one, bark so loudly before you are heard. But that does make sense. Do you have big Easter plans for the weekend?
Oh, yes. My daughter and son-in-law were coming in, and I just hope that we just have pretty sunny days. And when they come, they always stay, you know, like 3 days. They always make sure they come for a long weekend because, they don't want to spend all their time on the road. They really want to stay here and just enjoy just the relaxation of a couple of days off. And,
good.
And sometimes they, take their puppy dog out on the trails. And when I say their puppy dog's not a puppy, I call dogs puppies. But, yeah, and my daughter and I went to church together last year for Easter, and then my son-in-law stayed here and did the meal. You know, what a deal is that? So
good.
I don't know what I'll talk him into this year. I'd be happily take him out to eat, but where would you go? I mean, everything is pretty booked up.
Well, go ahead and check, and you can find those answers on the Facebook and some other places and pick up the phone and see. But I hope you have a wonderful time. Temperatures in the 70s all weekend. If not the upper 60s, might need an umbrella, but let's hope not.
And you have a good Easter as well.
I will talk to you in April. It sounds ridiculous,
Thank
but it's
you.
True.
Thank you.
Marty Hawk.